Hello, and welcome to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, March 26, 2024. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. In area news headlines, award-winning Dubuque music venue announces closure. Story by Eric Hoekstrom at thmedia.com. An award-winning music venue in Dubuque has announced its closure. Foxton Motel will close this week, according to owner John McDermott. Ultimately, it came down to personal circumstances, McDermott said of the decision to close. It certainly wasn't for lack of trying. McDermott also co-owns a live music venue in Davenport, Iowa, called Raccoon Motel. I had a recent job change that relocated me, and just the going back and forth from the Quad Cities got to be more than we were willing to sacrifice, McDermott said. It was just a little bit too much. It came down to a quality of life decision. McDermott said the success of the Quad Cities venue also figured into the decision. Davenport is going really well, and we decided our energies were better spent here at Raccoon Motel, he said. McDermott said the Dubuque's venue's final show will be tonight. Dirt Buyer and Brendan Weddle are scheduled to perform at 7 p.m., with the bar opening at 6:30 p.m. McDermott and his partner Sean Moeller opened Fox Den Motel in July 2022, bringing in bands from across the U.S. to play. The pair hired a touring musician, Jeremy Quinton, to manage the establishment. Fox Den Motel was named Outstanding Music Venue at Dubuque Main Street's State of Main Street Awards in October 2023. The venue's social media pages state that tickets for upcoming shows will be refunded, and many of the upcoming shows scheduled at the Fox Den Motel will be moved to neighboring venues and communities. We've got the building up for sale, and I'm optimistic that someone will come in and continue what we're doing, McDermott said. We could help them book in acts. The building at 920 Main Street is listed for sale for $350,000 by Rule & Rule Realtors of Dubuque. McDermott said the venue will open a few nights at the end of the week before closing permanently. We will do a night or two this weekend to settle things up, McDermott said. We might have a heavily discounted party on Friday. Iowa DNR set to stock trout streams beginning April 1. Iowa Department of Natural Resources staff will begin stocking area trout streams next month. Stocking will begin April 1, according to a press release. The release states that approximately 320,000 catchable rainbow-sized trout, 30,000 fingerling brook trout will be stocked into hundreds of miles of northeast Iowa streams through October. The sale of hunting and fishing licenses and trout fees helps support the stocking program. Additionally, agency staff plan to stock Heritage Pond at 10 a.m. on April 20th. Visit go online at the Iowa Trout Streams website for a list of Iowa's stock streams. Love that lasts. After 70 years, the buddy system still works for this Asbury couple. Story by Michelle London, michelle.london at thmedia.com. Deadline Asbury, Iowa. Growing up on a farm in Holy Cross, 16-year-old Jean Schmidt would often make trips to the Dubuque area with her sister Elaine and a few friends to catch dance at Melody Mill or watch a game of baseball. Around the same time, Jim Steele was growing up on a farm at Asbury. At 18 years old, he enjoyed a fun evening at Melody Mill, too. He was also a pretty good baseball player and played on the St. Philomena Catholic Church, now Church of the Resurrection, baseball team. I think we met on the baseball field, said the now Gene Steele, 88. I thought he was kind of cute, but just kind of, and he was hard to catch. Gene's sister liked Jim's best friend, Ray. It wasn't long before the two couples were double dating. One of the things we did was go to Blum's grocery store in Asbury, said Jim Steele, now 90. It was dance hall and bar and grocery store. They kind of did it all. They even had slot machines. Sundays were always for ball games. A lot of time after the game, we'd meet all our friends in Durango and have watermelon, Jim said. It would be like a picnic. On St. Patrick's Day, 1954, a little over a year after they met, Jim proposed and gave Jean an engagement ring. It was a short engagement. The couple married April 19th, 1954 at Holy Cross Catholic Church. They will celebrate their 70th wedding anniversary from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sunday, April 21 with an open house at Grand River Center. Friends past and present are welcome to come and celebrate with the family. Jim and Jean have four children, Patty Meyer, Dave, Rick, and Doug. They also have eight grandchildren and two grandchildren. The couple didn't have a chance to take a honeymoon. We thought about it, but we never did, Jean said, because we went right to work. I worked for my dad on the farm. Jim, a master carpenter, built the family home in Asbury. I've basically done carpentry work my whole life, he said. He worked for Cluck Construction and a few other construction outfits over the years. He was at John Deere for 6 years, where he was the supervisor of the carpenter shop. After that, he went out on his own and built a successful carpentry business. He has yet to retire. He still gets phone calls, said son Dan of Bettendorf, Iowa. He still tinkers. He has a shop out back. It's hard to retire, especially if you're a good carpenter. Jim also served for 21 years in the National Guard and Army Reserves, retiring as a major in 1973. One day, Jean mentioned to Jim that she didn't like having to trek up and down the stairs to the washer and dryer in the basement of their previous home. She wanted a main floor laundry room, so they decided to sell. We put a little ad in the paper and it sold in 2 days, Jim said. Their new home, also in Asbury, which Jim and Jean built from top to bottom, is where they've lived for more than 60 years. Jean, who in addition to helping her dad on the farm, was a stay-at-home mom. Then one day she saw a help wanted ad for Mays Drug, a pharmacy on Asbury Road at the time. I said to Jim, I'm going to answer this ad because I want to go to work, she said. He said, you don't have to go to work. I'm going to make enough money. I thought I was just going to call his bluff, so I went and applied, and I got the job. Jean eventually became a pharmacy technician and worked for 7 years at Mays and then for 20 years at Walgreens near Kennedy Mall. She retired in 2006. I hated it when I walked out of there because I love my job, she said. You got close to the people. They would come in and say, I just found out I have cancer, and you stood there and cried with them. Dave remembers a close-knit family that enjoyed spending time together. We did just about everything together, he said. We used to go camping and fishing. We belonged to the yacht club and spent a lot of time on the river. One of the family's biggest projects was converting an old school bus into a camper on wheels. Jim parked it at the National Guard Armory, and family members would work on it whenever they had the time. We painted it blue and called it the Blue Goose, Dave said. We'd run off on the weekends and go camping by the river. Sometimes on a big trip up to Devil's Lake in Wisconsin or to Minnesota, that's just the kind of family we grew up in, running around and doing stuff together. The Steels continue to stay busy in their golden years. Jim, a former volunteer firefighter with the Asbury Fire Department, is still on the department's board. He has served on city commissions, including its Building Commission and Zoning Board of Adjustment. The Steels are active at Church of the Resurrection, where Jim helps with building grounds needs, and Jean has helped plan annual festivals and fundraisers. They are also active with Asbury's Eagles Club. Dave has always admired his parents' relationship, just their closeness with each other and the respect they have for each other, he said. They always did everything together and was always family first. They always worked hard and they instilled that work ethic in us. Jim said he knew right away that Jean was the one for him. We just took a real liking to each other, he said. We had a lot of things in common. Jim and Jean enjoyed traveling with their family, particularly with Elaine and Roy, and Ray, who got married a few years after they did. They still have a campsite at the river and enjoy weekends boating and fishing. Dave said his parents' bond has gotten stronger over the years. I think they love each other more than they did 60 years ago, he said. The key to their 7-year marriage isn't complicated. You have to have amnesia once in a while, Jean said. And even though Jim said there might have been a heated argument or two, it boils down to one thing. We're buddies, he said. Do you know a long married couple? Love Lasts is a series highlighting local couples who have been married for at least 50 years. To nominate a couple to be featured in the series, contact reporter Michelle London at 563-588-5655, or you can email her at michelle.london@thmedia.com. Be sure to include the couple's names, city of residence, contact information, how long the two have been married, and their wedding date. Iowa legislature weighs changes to popular Forest Reserve property tax exemption. Story by Benjamin Fisher at thmedia.com. Des Moines, Iowa. An Iowa House of Representatives committee recently advanced a bill that would make significant changes to a property tax exemption for landowners who keep their properties forested, a provision that is widely used in East Central Iowa. Currently, the Iowa Department of Natural Resources Forest Reserve Program exempts 100% of property taxes on land for at least 2 acres in size where specific management rules are followed, such as growing certain types of forest trees and not hunting or grazing the land. More than 100,000 acres of forest on 7,655 parcels participate in the program in Clayton, Delaware, Dubuque, and Jackson counties as of 2023, according to the DNR's annual report. According to the DNR website, the program aims to incentivize landowners to keep their least valuable land as forests to supplement agriculture, improve water quality, and provide wildlife habitat. The bill that advanced from House Ways and Means Committee last week would allow county boards of supervisors to opt out of allowing residents to use property tax exemption. I think this is a program that is over 115 years old and that I think does need some more consideration. Iowa Representative Austin Harris, R. Moulton, who managed the bill in the committee. But I believe in local control and giving counties boards of supervisors a choice. This is a tax shift or a tax burden in some areas of the state and not in others. The bill would also, after an amendment from Iowa Representative Shannon Lundgren, R. Piasta, expand the minimum acreage for the program from 2 to 5. We have a lot of nice residential homes that are in very nice, expensive neighborhoods and are in the Forest Reserve program and are not really taking care of their forest area like they should be, she said. As we move this back towards our counties, we should take care of one of the areas they have complained about by giving them more of a role. Local counties are some of the state's top users of the Forest Reserve program. Clayton County was the state's top user in 2023 with 56,000 acres on 3,875 parcels. Jackson County had 21,000 acres on 1,300, almost 1,400 parcels. Butte County had 18,450 acres on 1,400 parcels. Delaware County had 12,000 acres on almost 1,000 parcels. Dubuque County Assessor Billy Selby told the Telegraph Herald that local conservation leaders have been big proponents of the Forest Reserve program, so our rate is higher than a lot of other jurisdictions. Iowa Representative Chuck Eisenhart, Dubuque, said at the committee meeting that the bill should have gone to the House Natural Resources Committee before the Tax Committee because it would impact the DNR program. He also said the proposed changes would cut the exemption for many area landowners, no matter what the Board of Supervisors decide, and simultaneously disincentivize the program's environmentally beneficial management practices. Because we use our tax policy to pursue other policies important to the state, I think we need to look at the underlying program first, he said. Folks I have heard from who are engaged in or involved in this program, not necessarily in urban areas, say that by removing the tax exemption, we will be putting some of our forest lands at risk. The DNR has a forest land strategy that they are required by federal government to update. I am not going to vote today on their property taxes and possibly damage the broader forest. According to Selby, 180 acres in Dubuque County that used the reserve exemption in 2023 no longer would qualify under the proposed 5-acre minimum. It won't be that the Board of Supervisors would say they're no longer participating in the tax exemption, Eisenhower said at the committee meeting. Those landowners would simply lose their tax exemption. As I understand it, there's a provision in the law that says if it has not been used as it should, then the Conservation Board can make that examination and determine a land that should be removed from exemption. While disqualification from the Forest Reserve exemption would remove property tax relief for landowners, it would also boost Iowa County government revenues, which have been impacted in recent years by the legislature's property tax reforms and the creation and expansion of other property tax exemptions. However, Selby said the land that typically qualifies for Forest Reserve exemption withholds less county revenues than most. A lot of times, you'll find that it's on ag-zoned land, so it's not going to have as high a taxable value as, say, residential lands, Selby said. House bill qualifies for debate on the full House floor and has a companion bill in the Senate. Iowa statewide tornado drill set for Wednesday. Iowa holds its annual statewide tornado drill this week. The drill will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, March 27th. According to the National Weather Service, the drill is held as part of Severe Weather Awareness Week in the state. Wisconsin holds its drill April 11th. The Illinois drill was held March 6th. Comedy country band to perform in Dubuque. A country comedy band that has performed on the Grand Ole Opry will appear this summer in Dubuque. The Cleverleys will perform at 8 p.m. June 29th at Five Flags Center, according to a press release. The group has been described as a spawn of Dolly Parton, Earl Scruggs, and Spinal Tap. The band has performed bluegrass covers of Walk Like an Egyptian by the Bangles, Low by Flo Rida, and I Kissed a Girl by Katy Perry. Tickets will be available beginning at 10 a.m. Friday, March 29th at the Five Flags Center box office and at Ticketmaster.com. Authorities say one injured in Grant County crash. Dateline Platteville, Wisconsin. Authorities said one person suffered minor injuries in a one-vehicle crash in Grant County. Aaron Schmidt, 35, of Madison, was injured in the crash, according to the Grant County Sheriff's Department. A press release states that Schmidt was traveling south on U.S. Highway 151 at the overpass for Grant County XX at approximately 9:15 p.m. Friday when he attempted to pass another southbound vehicle on the snowy, wet roadway. Schmidt lost control of his vehicle and it struck the cement bridge rail of the overpass. Police say a driver injured in Dubuque crash. Police said a driver was injured in a crash involving three vehicles in Dubuque. Caitlin M. Hauser, 40, of Dubuque, was transported by ambulance to Unipate Point Health Finley Hospital for treatment of her injuries, according to Dubuque Police. Police said Hauser was traveling south in the 2400 block of Windsor Avenue at 8:44 a.m. Saturday when she lost control of her vehicle, causing it to strike an unoccupied parked vehicle. Hauser's vehicle rolled onto its passenger side and slid into a second unoccupied parked vehicle. Hauser was cited with failure to maintain control and improper use of lanes. Dubuque County Conservation hosts remnant prairie survey at Sunnycrest Manor. Members of the public are invited to participate in a remnant prairie survey by Dubuque County Conservation. Volunteers will document the plants, insects, and animals living in the remnant prairie at Sunnycrest Manor beginning at 10 a.m. Tuesday, March 26th at the facility 2375 Roosevelt Street, according to an online announcement. According to Dubuque County Conservation, prairies once covered 75% to 80% of Iowa's landscape. Now less than 0.1% of that original prairie remains in the state. These remaining acres are known as remnant prairies. Dubuque City Council sets FY 2025 spending tax levels. Story by Andy Piper at andy.piper@teachmedia.com. Following public input, Dubuque Mayor Brad Kavanaugh opened the discussion to City Council members. As City Council member Katie Wethel began to speak, City Attorney Krenna Brumwell quickly intervened. Prior to voting 7-0 to approve the maximum property tax levy for fiscal year 2025 during a public hearing Monday at the Historical Federal Building, council members anticipated a discussion about City Manager Mike Van Milligan's recommended budget, a hearing for final approval of the operating capital improvement budgets set for April 11th. The language in Iowa House File 718 requires the public input piece be separate from any other business of the council, Brumwell explained. That's my best interpretation of all these new processes and procedures that keep getting added. Information not related to the proposed property tax amount may not be discussed, and you have to have those discussions on the night of the departmental budget hearings. House File 718 states, this hearing must be separate from any other meeting in the city or county, including any meeting or public hearing related to the city's or county's budget and other businesses of the city or county not related to proposed tax, property tax amounts, and the information of budget statements. Information not related to the proposed property tax amounts and information on the budget statements may not be conducted at the meeting at which this public hearing is held. Council member David Resnick, who for many years has been an active participant in the budget talks, expressed his incredulity. I guess I need this further explained to me, Resnick said. We're going to approve something without asking about it so it can be clear. There is a motion to receive, file, and approve. I suppose I could vote without asking these clarifying questions, but this process includes approving guidelines without scrutiny? That's entirely accurate, and we are to vote without clarifications? Brumwell said everyone is muddling through the changes. We hope there will be some guidance, Brumwell said. As you know, this process began to change a few years ago and has become disjointed. The council approved a property tax asking of $28 million. The property tax rate is approved at 9.23% per the average taxable assessed valuation, an increase of 0.25% over FY24. The average homeowner will pay $40.75 more than in FY2024. The city's assessed average property tax value in fiscal year 2025 is $196,000. That's an increase of 5.72%. Ben Mulligan took issue with the letter. The city was mandated by the state of Iowa to send every property tax owner in Dubuque. In the letter, the city uses a $100,000 assessed property value for two straight years to base its tax reductions. Since the state of Iowa uses a fixed $100,000 property taxes in the current year and then a fixed value of $100,000 next year, it shows this year that the fictitious property will pay $541 in taxes, and next year that fixture's property will pay $461 in taxes. They would get a 15% property tax reduction from the city of Dubuque. That's not what is going to happen. Van Milligan explained property values go up every year and that the average residential property tax value in Dubuque is $196,000. They're actually going to see a 5% property tax increase, not a 15% increase, Van Milligan said. If you just got a notice in the mail you think you're getting a decrease, it's a little misleading that what we're required to send our residents. Van Milligan said the letter creates the same confusion for property tax values. For commercial property taxes, a fixed $100,000 value this year and next year would leave commercial property taxpayers to think they're getting a 15% decrease. In reality, commercial property owners will receive a 25.5% increase or $850 more. Industrial property owners will see a 3.89% increase or $187.33. Several fee increases are slated for FY 2025 and will take effect on July 1, 2024. Sanitary sewer rates will increase by $4.50 per month. For the average residential customer, from $50.28 to $54.78. Water rates will increase by $4.32 per month, from $35.92 to $40.14. Solid waste collection rates will increase by $1.42 per month, and stormwater rates will increase $1.50 per month. Those fee increases are of concern to Clark Schultz of Dubuque, who addressed the council during the public hearing. Utility rates are going up, and sewer and water rate increases are 3 to 4 times higher than the commercial price index, Schultz said. This is just a fluke? A one-time, one-year thing? Am I going to be able to afford to water my yard in August and moderate to severe drought? The answer is going to be no. If you go, the Dubuque City Council will hold a public hearing at 6:30 p.m. tonight in the second floor council chambers of the Historic Federal Building to discuss the following departmental budgets: City Attorney's Office, City Clerk's Office, Public Information Office, Human Resources, City Manager's Office, and City Council. The public can view and participate in the meeting or virtually. You can do it in person or virtually. The meeting will be aired live on Mediacom cable channels 8 and 117.2, streamed live and archived on the city's website at cityofdubuque.org/media, and streamed live on the city's Facebook page at facebook.com/cityofdubuque. A complete meeting agenda with supporting documents is available at the Dubuque City Council website. Estimated FY 2025 tax revenue of the city of Dubuque's proposed fiscal year 2025 budget anticipates tax revenue from property taxes, local option sales tax, hotel motel taxes, gaming tax, utility franchise tax, and other taxes. Bellevue Chamber to host bowling tournament. Dateline Bellevue, Iowa. Bellevue Area Chamber of Commerce will hold its 8th annual bowling tournament this weekend. The event will be held from 4 to 10 p.m. Saturday, March 30th at Horizon Lanes and Hall, 970 Riverview Street. Bowling will be in 3 shifts, beginning at 4 p.m., 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. The cost is $130 for a team of 4. The cost includes 3 games of bowling and shoe rental. Email chamber@bellevueiowa.chamber.org to reserve a spot. Groundbreaking for Guttenberg Community Resource Center slated at Dateline Guttenberg, Iowa. Officials were break ground today in a community center in Clayton County. The Guttenberg Economic and Industrial Development Committee will hold the ceremony for the Community Resource Center at 4 p.m. at 516 South 1st Street, according to a press release. The center will offer a variety of services, including a food pantry, housing assistance, counseling, and a snack program for school-age youth. Organizers of the center received a $2.7 million grant to construct the facility. Efforts are underway to raise matching funds for the remainder of the cost of the estimated $4 million three-story building. Storm spotter training planned in Lancaster. Dateline Lancaster, Wisconsin. A free event in Lancaster will offer training for the public on how to spot and report severe weather events. National Weather Service storm spotter training will be held from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, April 2nd at Lancaster High School, 806 Elm Street, according to an online announcement. Participants will learn how to safely spot storms and how to communicate reports to the Weather Service. Taste of Fenimore event set for March 30th, Dateline Fenimore, Wisconsin. An annual celebration of food and beverages returning to a Grant County community. The 11th annual Taste of Fenimore will be held from 1 to 5 p.m. Saturday, March 30th at the Cottonwood Sports Bar and Supper Club, 4716 Green River Road. The event includes regional beer, wine, coffee and beverage tasting, as well as sampling of meats, cheeses, pastas, sandwiches, and desserts from a variety of vendors. Tickets are $20 in advance or $25 at the door. Visit tinyurl.com/tastefenimore for more information. Terrarium class to be held in Maquoketa. Dateline Maquoketa, Iowa. An upcoming class will teach participants how to create their own closed-style terrarium. The terrarium class will be held from 2 to 3 p.m. April 7th at Hurstville Interpretive Center, 18670 63rd Street, Maquoketa, according to an online announcement. Jackson County Conservation will provide materials. Joe Davis County Nature Center to close on certain April and May dates. Dateline Galena, Illinois, Joe Davis County Nature Area will close on several occasions in the coming months. Horseshoe Mountain Preserve will close April 6th and 7th, April 20th and 21st, April 26th to 28th, May 3rd to May 5th, and May 10th to May 12th to fulfill lease obligations, according to Joe Davis County Conservation Foundation. The preserve, located at 1679 North Blackjack Road near Galena, is typically open daily from dawn to dusk. Eagle Ridge Resort plans activities for Easter weekend. Dateline Galena, Illinois. The Eagle Ridge Resort and Spa will hold a variety of events for Easter this weekend. Most activities throughout the weekend are free and open to the public. An indoor playland with a variety of games will be available from 2 to 6 p.m. Friday, March 29th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, March 30th, and 1 to 6 p.m. Sunday, March 31 in the resort's Galena rooms. Candy bingo, s'mores, and an Easter-themed movie screening will also take place on both Friday and Saturday evenings. Throughout the day on Saturday, attendees can hear a reading of the tale of Peter Rabbit, take photos with the Easter Bunny, participate in an Easter parade, an Easter egg hunt, and visit a petting zoo. Wagon rides will be available for $5 a person. A coloring contest will also be held from 1 p.m. Friday to 6 p.m. Saturday, with winners posted on Sunday morning. Eagle Ridge guests can participate in an Easter egg hunt at 11 a.m. Sunday, and Easter brunch will be served from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sunday. The cost of brunch is $39 per person plus tax, or $22 per child age 4 to 11 plus tax. To make brunch reservations, call 815-776-5050. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/Eagle Ridge Easter. Galena Library to host Eclipse Viewing Party, Dateline Galena, Illinois. Galena's Library will host a watch party during the upcoming solar eclipse. The free event will be held from 12:30 to 2:30 p.m. April 8th on the front steps of Galena Public Library, 601 South Bench Street, according to an online announcement. Free eclipse viewing glasses will be available at the library. Flower arranging class set for March 28th in Joe Davis County. Dateline Elizabeth, Illinois, a program in Joe Davis County will teach participants basics of designing cut flowers. Spring flower arranging will be held at 1:30 p.m. Thursday, March 28th at the Joe Davis County University of Illinois, Extension Office, 204 North Vine Street, Elizabeth. The course is part of the Extension's Spring Break Gardening Series. Grant Regional Health Center Foundation accepting golf outing reservations. Dateline Lancaster, Wisconsin, a local hospitals foundation, is accepting registrations for an annual fundraising event. Grant Regional Health Center's Foundation's 22nd annual golf outing will be held from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. June 6th at Lancaster Country Club, 5 Golf Road. The cost for an individual golfer is $135. The cost for a team is $550. Sponsorships are available for other aspects of the outing. An online auction will be held from Friday, May 24th until Thursday, June 6th. Funds raised from the golf outing and auction will support the purchase of colonoscopy equipment. You are listening to the reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, March 26, 2024 on IRIS, the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service for the Blind. Now let's turn to today's obituaries. Donald J. Banfield. Donald J. Banfield, 88 of Dubuque, passed away unexpectedly on Saturday, March 23, 2024, at his home with his wife by his side. Visitation will be from 9 a.m. until 10:15 on Thursday, March 28th, at the Cathedral of St. Raphael. The Mass of Christian Burial will be at 10:30 a.m. Thursday, March 28th, at the Cathedral of St. Raphael, with Father Dennis Quint as a celebrant. Burial will be at St. Rosa Lima Cemetery in Cuba City, Wisconsin. Full military honors will be rendered by American Legion Post 104. Redd was born May 27, 1935, in Cuba City, Wisconsin, the son of Andrew and Margaret Swift Banfield. He was united in marriage to Jane M. Kaiser at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Cincinnati, Wisconsin. Redd was an entrepreneur where he owned and operated Banfield Brothers Trucking, Mack Tools, and Service Master by Banfield. He was a member of Dubuque Golf Country Club. He spent many hours meticulously manicuring his lawn. He also enjoyed spending time playing poker with friends, old and new. He enjoyed traveling to Switzerland, many European countries, and throughout the United States with his family and close friends. Survivors include his loving wife of 66 years, Jane of Dubuque, three children, Clint Teresa Banfield of Dubuque, Jason Banfield of Seymour, Missouri, Nadine Mike DeBoer of Tampa, Florida, and other relatives. Besides his parents and parents-in-law, Redd was preceded in death by his brother Tom, sisters-in-law, Joyce Banfield, Genevieve, Merlin Rowling, and Dorothy Kaiser, two nephews, and other relatives and friends. Hoffenschneider Kitchen Funeral Home and Crematory is in charge of the arrangements. A photo tribute can be viewed and condolences sent to the family by visiting Redd's obituary at www.hsfhcares.com. Ronald D. Hayes. Ronald D. Hayes, age 85, of Dubuque, passed away at 10:50 p.m. on Thursday, March 21, 2024, at home with his loving family. To honor Ron's life, family and friends may visit from 9 a.m. until 10:45 a.m. on Wednesday, March 27th, at St. Patrick Church, 1425 Iowa Street. Funeral services will be held immediately after visitation at 11 a.m. on Wednesday at St. Patrick Church, with the Reverend Dennis Quint officiating. Burial will be in Mount Calvary Cemetery. Bear Funeral Home is assisting the family. Ron was born January 11, 1939, in Dubuque, the son of Patrick C. and Marjorie Schmitz Hayes. He attended Sacred Heart Grade School, Jefferson Middle School, and Dubuque Senior High School. He was united in marriage to his true love, Donna Priest, on April 29, 1961, at Sacred Heart. In 1966, he and Donna joined St. Patrick's Church and have been members ever since. His faith was extremely important to him, and Ron had a special devotion to praying the rosary. He generously volunteered his time and talents for several years at St. Patrick's Church, Stonehill Care Center, Mount Francis Sinclair House. He was employed at Sears for 30 years, starting in the automotive department and ending in the service department. After Sears closed, he went to work at Medical Associates in their maintenance department and retired again after 10 years. He had several hobbies, but his favorite was spending time in the garage working on cars. He restored several, and his grandson still has Ron's prize 1939 Chevy. He also liked to spend time watching old movies and listening to Buddy Holly. He loved his family, and spending time with grandchildren brought him great joy. He always had a pocket full of Tootsie Rolls to share. Ron regularly picked his granddaughters up from preschool when they were small and took them to the Sunshine Restaurant for lunch, a memory they will always treasure. He had a generous nature and was always willing to help someone in need. He had a special way of making people feel comfortable, and everyone enjoyed his teasing personality. His famous quote was, "If I don't see you later, so what?" A tribute to his jokester side. Ron was truly one of a kind and will be greatly missed. Those left to cherish his memory include his loving wife, his Donna, his children, Connie Hendren, Patrick Carroll Hayes, Gary Hayes of Sauk Center, Minnesota, 11 grandchildren, and other relatives. He was preceded in death by his parents, his siblings, Ruth, Ralph, Auer, Patsy, Bud, Gatewood, Sandra, Mike, Wagner, Cheryl, Robert, Reinelt, Kenneth, Marilyn, Hayes, and a niece, Melissa Reinelt. His family would like to thank the wonderful nurses and staff of Hospice Duke, especially Jennifer, Stephanie, and Melanie, for the outstanding care they provided for Ron. The family will thankfully receive your support through greeting cards and memorials in Ron's memory, which may be mailed to Bear Funeral Home, 1491 Main Street, Dubuque, Iowa, 52001. Attention, Ron Hayes family. Online condolences may be left for the family at www.bearfuneralhome.com. Mary Janine Kuhn. Sister Mary Janine Kuhn, PBVM 86, died Saturday at the Sisters Presentation Mall, Loretto, 2360 Carter Road. Monday, March 25th, friends may call from 3:30 to 7 p.m. at Sacred Heart Chapel, Sisters of the Presentation, where there will be a vigil service at 7 p.m. The funeral mass will be at 11 a.m. Tuesday, March 26th at Sacred Heart Chapel. Burial will follow in Mount Olivet Cemetery, Key West. Sister Mary Janine, the daughter of Sylvester and Elizabeth Sullivan, was born Margaret Lee Kuhn on July 1, 1937 in Osage, Iowa. She entered the Sisters of the Presentation from Osage on September 8, 1956, and Professor of Perpetual Vows, August 22, 1964. She earned a Bachelor of Arts from Clark College, now Clark University in Dubuque, Iowa, and a Master of Arts from both Loras College and Creighton University in Omaha. Sister Janine served as an elementary teacher and principal in Catholic schools in Dubuque, St. Columbkill and Farley, Iowa, both in Iowa, and St. Paul, Minnesota, in congregational leadership as president and counselor in congregational formation ministry as pastoral minister, in Charles City, Iowa, as administrator, spiritual and retreat director at the American Martyrs Retreat House, Cedar Falls, and St. Stephen the Witness Catholic Student Center at the University of Northern Iowa and Cedar Falls, guiding students on their spiritual journey. She celebrated her 60th Jubilee in 2016 and retired to Submount Loretto in 2017. She enjoyed playing the piano, singing, playing cards and Scrabble, softball, basketball, horseback riding, hiking, driving, working with flowers, and providing an environment in church. She valued prayer and community service. Sister Janine reflected, "I am so grateful to all who supported me along the way with their love, joy, and friendship. God gifted me with a call to follow in faith and has given me many blessings in it to serve in a variety of ministries. Surviving are our sisters, Catherine Peterman and Betty Ronald Lovejoy, sisters-in-law Kathy Kuhn and Kathy Jim Berry, nieces, nephews, and sisters of the Presentation with whom she shared her life for 67 years. She was preceded in death by her parents, her sisters, Phyllis and husband Lincoln Drake, Joan and husband Frank Guest, and her brothers Reverend Richard Kuhn, Robert Kathy, and James Kathy. The Eagle Hoff, Siegert, and Casper Funeral Home was in charge of arrangements, and memorials may be made to the Sisters of the Presentation, 2360 Carter Road, Dubuque, Iowa, 52001, or online at www.dbqpbvms.org. Michael J. Lambert, Sr., Monticello, Iowa. Michael John Lambert, Sr., 76, died Friday, March 22nd, at his home surrounded by family after a brief illness. Massive Christian burial will be held 11 a.m. Wednesday, March 27th at Sacred Heart Catholic Church, Monticello, with interment at the Sacred Heart Cemetery. Friends may call from 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday at the Gosch Funeral Home, Monticello, where a parish vigil service will start at 4 o'clock. Visitation will continue Wednesday morning at the Sacred Heart Catholic Church from 10 to 11. Father Paul Baldwin will officiate at the services. By visiting GetchOnline.com, you may share your thoughts, memories, and condolences with the family and sign the online guest book. Surviving are his 4 children, 12 grandchildren, and other relatives, some siblings and other relatives. He was preceded in death by his wife Audrey in 2022, his parents, in-laws Don and Margaret Huggins. He was born June 23, 1947 at John McDonald Hospital, Monticello, son of Laverne and Jacqueline Cotter Lambert. Mike graduated from Sacred Heart High School in 1965. He continued his education at Loras College. He served in the Army's 75th Infantry as an Airborne Ranger and fought in the Vietnam War. He married the love of his life, Audrey Huggins, on June 7, 1968 at Lake Charles, Louisiana, before he left for Vietnam. When he returned from Vietnam, he was a Monticello police officer before his long career at the Iowa State Penitentiary, where he retired as a captain in 2002. Mike and his family took care of Avenue of the Flags at the Sacred Heart Cemetery. He was a member of the VFW Drill Team, Knights of Columbus, Jones County Ducks Unlimited, Monticello Eagles Club, Monticello Golf Club, and enjoyed hunting and fishing. He loved cruising in his 1931 Ford Model A pickup and showing it off at car shows. He enjoyed spending time at his Lambert's Landing property with friends and family. Janelda M. Nice. Dateline Dickieville, Wisconsin, Janelle to M. Seifker, Nice, 93 of Dickieville. Walked through the gates of heaven on March 22, 2024 at Lutheran Manor, Grand Meadows, Asbury, Iowa. A massive Christian burial will be at 10:30 a.m. Tuesday, March 26th, Holy Ghost Catholic Church in Dickieville, Wisconsin, with Reverend Bernard Rout officiating. Burial will be in the church cemetery. Visitation will be 4 to 7 p.m. Monday at Holy Ghost Catholic Church, where there will be a parish rosary at 3:40 p.m. Visitation will be from 9 to 10:15 a.m. Tuesday at the church before the service. Casey McNett Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Cuba City is assisting the family. Janelle was born October 28, 1930, to Clarence and Bernice Timmerman Seifker at Dickieville. She was joined in marriage to Burnell Nice on October 19, 1949. He preceded her in death on August 13, 2002. They owned the Dickieville Cheese Factory, where you could find Mom doing the bookkeeping at home while raising 8 children. She ran the Dickieville Cheese Store for many years. She was survived by 3 daughters, 4 sons, and other relatives. She is survived by many nieces and nephews. She was sentenced to death by her parents, her son Daniel, and his wife Shauna, and a grandchild, Travis Southers, a sister, Doris Eldon Hoyan, and 2 brothers-in-law, Laverne Sint and Ernie Quay. The family would like to express our thanks to the staffs of Luther Manor, Grand Meadows, and Hospice of Dubuque for wonderful care our mom received. Memorials may be sent to Casey McNett Funeral Home, care of Janelle Denise Family, 123 Jackson Street, Cuba City, Wisconsin, 53807. Online condolences may be left at www.caseymcnett.com. Carla Steger. Carla Steger, 82 of Dubuque, passed away Monday, March 25th. Visitation will be from 10 to noon. Massive Christian burial on Wednesday, March 27th at St. Joseph Catholic Church, Key West, 10204 Key West Drive. Monsignor Thomas Toll will officiate. Interment will be in the Resurrection Garden Mausoleum, Mount Calvary Cemetery. Arrangements are entrusted to Eaglehoff, Siegert, and Casper Funeral Home and Crematory, 2659 JFK Road, Dubuque. Carla was born February 23, 1942 in Dyersville, the daughter of Elmer H. and Marcella Wessels Krapfel. She attended Nativity School, Visitation Academy, Loras College, Clark College, and Cuyahoga Community College in Ohio. She was a telephone operator for Northwestern Bell until her marriage. She married John Steger in 1962 at the Church of the Nativity. The couple moved to Iowa City while he attended dental school and then off to Cleveland, Ohio after his graduation. John and Carla returned to Dubuque, where John established his practice, Dubuque Dental Associates, along with Dr. Hale Tajarks. Carla loved music, singing in many plays at the school and church choir. She also played the piano, banjo, and accordion. She was an avid collector of dolls, family memorabilia, and Christmas decor. She was a devoted wife, aunt, friend, took care of everyone. Carla's St. Bernard and Newfoundland dogs were very special to her. She was survived by her husband, John Steger, DDS of Dubuque, her brother, Fred Sharon Krapfel of Dubuque, and nieces and other relatives. She was seen in death by her parents, her sister, and her nephew. Memorials may be made to St. Joseph Catholic Church, Key West. Thomas J. Bainbridge, Brownton, Wisconsin. Thomas J. Bainbridge, 57 of Brownton, died Sunday, March 24th. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, April 4th at Casey McNett Funeral Home and Cremation Services in Cuba City, and from 10 to 10:45 a.m. Friday, April 5th at St. Rose of Lima Catholic Church in Cuba City, where a massive Christian burial will follow at 11 a.m. Burial will take place in St. Patrick's Cemetery in Benton. Leona Becker, 75 of Dubuque, died Monday, March 25th. Services will take place at 10 a.m. Saturday, March 30th. At Hoffensteiner Kitchen Funeral Home and Cremation Service, 3860 Asbury Road, burial will take place in the East Dubuque, Illinois Cemetery. Marianne Murphy, Dateline Hanover, Illinois. Marianne Murphy, 82 of Hanover and formerly of Savannah, died Sunday, March 24th. Visitation will be from 9:30 to 10:45 a.m. at today at St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church in Hanover, where services will follow at 11 a.m. Law Jones Funeral Home of Hanover is assisting the family. Here's information about area funeral services. Mary Lois Carey, Hazel Green, Wisconsin. Service 1:30 p.m. today, St. Dominic Villa Chapel, Hazel Green. Harold J. Lang, East Dubuque, Illinois. Visitation 8:45 to 9:30 a.m. today. Miller Funeral Home, East Dubuque. Massive Christian Burial 10 a.m. today. St. Mary's Church, East Dubuque. Susan Link, Dubuque. Visitation 9 to 10 a.m. today. St. Matthew Lutheran Church. Visitation 10 a.m. today at the church. Rosalie M. Lowe's, Key West, Iowa. Visitation 3 to 7 p.m. Friday, April 5th. Miller Funeral Home, East Dubuque, Illinois. Mass for Christian Burial. 10:30 a.m. Saturday, April 6th. St. Joseph, Key West. James W. Powers, Dubuque. Visitation 1:30 to 4:30 p.m. Monday, April 1. Leonard Funeral Home and Crematory. 2595 Rockdale Road. 4:30 p.m. April 1 at the funeral home is this time for the service. Richard Rouse Cell, Dubuque, service 10 a.m. today. Hoffensteiner Kitchen Funeral Home and Crematory, 3860 Asbury Road. Velma L. Steele, Bloomington, Wisconsin, visitation 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday, March 30th. Martin Schwartz Funeral Home and Crematory, Bloomington, service 11 a.m. Saturday at the funeral home. Karen E. Wasson, Galena, Illinois, Parish Rosary service 10:30 a.m. today. Furlong Funeral Chapel, Galena. Visitation 11 a.m. to noon today at the funeral home. Service noon today at the funeral home. Betty Zimmer, Dubuque. Visitation 5 to 8 p.m. today and 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Wednesday, March 27th. Hoffensteiner Kitchen Funeral Home Crematory, 3860 Asbury Road. Mass for Christian Burial, 11 a.m. Wednesday. Sacred Heart Catholic Church. Here's a look at some other area news. Panel discussion to examine Black history in Dubuque. A panel discussion next week examines Dubuque's Black history. Generations Unveiled, Black Elders Sharing Dubuque's Untold Stories will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. April 4th at The Spot, 356 Main Street, according to a press release. The release states the panel Black Dubuque residents will share their personal experiences. Each of the panelists has lived 50 or more years in Dubuque. Hosted by Carla Anderson, the event features a panel of Claudette Carter Thomas, Roger Fisher, Ernestine and Melvin Wass, and Reverend John Taylor. Free presentation on Galena General set for April 7th. Dateline Galena, Illinois. A free presentation on a Civil War general from Galena will be held next month in Joe Davis County. Historian Robert I. Girardi will present Major General John Eugene Smith, Galena's forgotten general, from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. April 7th at the Galena Territories Owners Club 2000 Territory Drive, according to an online announcement. A Swiss immigrant, Smith operated a jewelry store in Galena before becoming one of the 9 Union generals associated with Joe Davis County. Call 815-777-9129 or visit galenahistory.org for more information. Here's a look at area crime and court news. Police say a woman seriously injured in fall from vehicle tailgate in Dubuque. Police said a woman riding on the tailgate of a vehicle was seriously hurt when she fell and struck her head in Dubuque. Emily M. Koziel, 23, of Darien, Illinois, was transported by ambulance to Unity Point Health Finley Hospital, then airlifted to University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics, according to Dubuque Police. Police said Koziel was riding on the tailgate of a vehicle driven by Mason W. Jackson, 23, of Bellevue, Iowa. The vehicle was turning from Kirkwood Street into a parking lot on the 800 block of Kirkwood at 5:39 p.m. Saturday when Koziel fell. Court documents state that Jackson told police he was leaving a house party on Alta Vista Street at the time of the incident. Jackson showed signs of intoxication and admitted to consuming alcohol that afternoon, documents state. Dubuque Police Department Lieutenant Luke Bach said Jackson was arrested on charge of operating while intoxicated. The Dubuque Police and Dubuque County Sheriff's Department reported the following. Shelby L.A. Jones, 28, of Providence Village, Texas, was arrested at 5:30 a.m. Monday at Dubuque Law Enforcement Center on a warrant charging second-degree harassment. Dubuque man accused in shots fired incident, sentenced on assault charge. Dubuque man has been sentenced to 2 years of probation for a 2022 assault, an incident in which police said shots were fired. Jermaine F. Wade, Jr., 34, recently received a sentence from Iowa District Court Judge Margaret Lindgren in Iowa District Court of Dubuque County after pleading guilty to a charge of assault causing bodily injury. Wade initially was charged with going armed with intent and reckless use of a firearm, but received the amended charge of assault as part of a plea deal. As part of his sentence, Wade must also pay $430 plus fine plus court costs. Court documents state Wade was accused of shooting a gun in the 500 block of Locust Street on December 15, 2022, following a physical altercation with Xavier T. DeLeon, then 27th of Dubuque. Wade allegedly fired the weapon as DeLeon ran away, striking a nearby residence and causing $500 in property damage, documents state. DeLeon later told police he met with Wade to purchase marijuana after a friend connected him through Snapchat to his username that police said matches with Wade's other social media accounts, documents states. According to court documents, DeLeon said he was picked up and the driver police have identified as Wade said DeLeon needed to pay before he stopped the car. DeLeon said the driver pointed a gun at him and the altercation broke out that eventually went from the vehicle to the street, leading to the alleged shots fired incident, documents state. Police later were given the license plate of the car involved, which was registered to Wade. Here's a look at area business news. BizBuzz, Piazza Boutique opens, Southwest Wisconsin bar under new ownership, new coffee truck hits area streets. This column is by Grace Nyland at grace.nyland@thmedia.com. Dateline Piazza, Iowa, new boutique is open on the lower level of Piazza Salon. May V, a woman's boutique, recently opened at 742 Piazza Street below Ultimate Impressions Salon and Spa, a space previously housed Next Level Dance Company, which in January moved to a new building on Cox Springs Road. In Irish, May V means woman of power or she who rules, said co-owner Lucy Rahi. That's what we want to be known for creating a space that is uplifting for women and where they can feel their best. Maybe started as a small retail space inside Ultimate Impressions Salon and Spa, where both Rahi and Mavy co-owner Brianna Apena work as stylists. The original idea was to offer clients an extra shopping experience to complement the salon's other offerings, Rahi explained. When the building's lower level opened up, however, the pair jumped on the chance to expand the business. The expanded retail space opened earlier this month, but an official grand opening celebration is scheduled for April 5th. Southwest Wisconsin Bar changes hand. A Southwest Wisconsin bar is now under new ownership. The Berg, located at 134 West Water Street in Schillsburg, is now owned by Kim Ponke, Dale Brandt, and Mark Doyle. Doyle is the original owner, while Ponke and Brandt replace former owners Jeff Doyle and Rob Paquette. Really, we're just looking to build on what Mark, Jeff, and Rob built here, Brandt said. We want everyone who walks in the door to feel welcome to just stop by, relax, and hang out with good people. Patke has worked at the Berg in a variety of roles for 6 years, while Brandt has worked there as a part-time bartender for a little over a year. Mark Doyle has been with the tavern since it first opened in 2015. Already, Ponke said the tavern is known for its high-quality menu items and laid-back atmosphere, so she and Brad don't see the need for any major changes. They are looking to add more live entertainment options, however, as well as minor menu changes. The tavern currently carries a full menu ranging from pizza and hand-breaded chicken strips to flatbreads and fresh fish. The Berg is open Wednesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to close. The kitchen closes at 9 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday and 8 p.m. on Sunday. Information about rotating specials can be found online at facebook.com/theburgisgreat. New coffee truck hits area streets. A new mobile business has launched in Delaware County. Heather Vonderhaar of Earlville recently opened the Southside Sip, a mobile coffee trailer offering coffee and other refreshments. She plans to take the trailer to events throughout Northeast Iowa, as well as organize pop-up sales at area parks or businesses. I'm just excited to meet new people and bring something a little different to Earlville and other areas around here, she said. I'm hoping it's something that can bring people together. Last year, Vonderhaar started participating in area vendor shows to showcase her handmade jewelry. Doing so helped her uncover an affinity for meeting new people while staying on the move. The new trailer seemed like an opportunity to expand her skills while also offering something new for the Earlville area, so she decided to purchase a trailer in Danport to open a coffee shop on wheels. It already had a little kitchen area, so it just took a little bit of work to get everything else set up, she said. Add a mural painted on both exterior sides of it, and that really just brought everything together. The Southside Sip includes a variety of coffee beverages, teas, hot chocolates, and Lotus energy drinks. A small assortment of snacks is also available, as well as some of Vonderhaar's customers' custom jewelry products. And that does it for today's reading of the Dubuque Telegraph Herald for Tuesday, March 26, 2024. I'm your reader, Bill Petrosky. You can access a recording of today's reading on our website, iowaradioreading.org, at any time. Thank you for listening.